Blog Talk Radio.
Hi there, I'm Mary Eileen Williams at Feisty Side of 50 Radio, and this show is a celebration of baby boomers who are embracing life as we grow older. And speaking of embracing life, everyone loves a tale of intrigue and suspense, especially when it's richly populated with the fascinating characters created by author Louise Penny. And today's guest has brought Penny's much-beloved detective, Chief Inspector Armand Gamache, to life with his critically acclaimed performances for Macmillan Audio. You know Robert Bathurst as Sir Anthony Strelan on Downton Abbey, but of course we will forgive him for so rudely leaving Lady Edith at the altar now that he's moved on to portraying a much more thoughtful fellow, because Inspector Gamache would never leave anyone waiting unless he had a mystery to solve, and that's just what he's doing in this latest book narrated by Mr. Bathurst. It's called A World of Curiosities, and Robert joins us to share all about it. I'm so excited to have you on the show. Welcome, Robert.
Thank you very much for having me.
Well, first off, I mean, you've had an amazing career in so many very good directions and dramas and performances, but now as narrator of the much-beloved Chief Inspector Armand Gamache series, you've been nominated for several Audio Awards and won the Best Male Narrator in 2020, so you must have developed a real affinity for this character.
I have to say that every year, I've read the last eight of the Inspector Gamache three-time series by Louise Penny. And I have to say, it's a sort of gift every year. At roughly the same time each year, the next one arrives. And I read it first of all. And, of course, I want the series to continue. But then Gamache gets into terrible scrapes. And each year I think, Gamache is never going to survive this. This is going to be the last one I'm going to be doing, surely. and so far, to date, although I'm not giving anything away for this one, so far to date, he's pulled through. So it's been so exciting, and I got to know all those characters, the regulars in the Bistro and in Three Pines, and there's also these really, really well-drawn newer characters who come in, some of whom, of course, aren't what they seem.
Aren't what they seem. Oh, I love that. Well, and of course... You know, I was thinking, here you are as the narrator putting all of us on the edge of our seats, but you, reading the book, like you say, you probably bite your nails a few times, too, to make sure poor Gamache is going to make it through.
Yes, and I play a game with the studio manager, the engineer, in all the books that I've read of this series, and about halfway through and three quarters of the way through and right at the end, I say to him or her, I say, who did it? And they've always got it wrong, which I think is an indication of how brilliantly constructed these mystery thrillers are.
Oh, how fun! So you like tease the crew, saying, anybody guess who the real? That's so much fun. Well, Robert, too. Oh, I'm sorry.
No, carry on, please. Yes, thank you.
Well, no, I was just thinking, as long as we're talking a little bit, can you share a brief overview of the story? Because, of course, Louise Penny's books are so well-known, but each one's unique. So tell us a little bit about A World of Curiosities.
Well, about every second of the Louise Penny Three Pines series, they go away from Three Pines, the village, this rather mystical village, which is not on the map, somewhere in Quebec. And then they go off somewhere else. But this one is, we're back in Three Pines. But we're also back in time as well, because there's the relationship, for anyone who knows this series, about there's Gamache and his chief inspector Beauvoir, his son, who becomes his son-in-law. And this starts at a time before they'd even met. And this is a time when they did meet. And the rather callow, rather brutish Jean-Guy Beauvoir, who eventually... is rescued really by Gamache in some ways, and his whole life is turned around by Gamache. We meet Beauvoir at his most raw, at a time when there is a murder and there are children who are affected by this, and of course in time the children are become adults, and the implications and the whole event, all the events surrounding the murder of their mother, are continuing and the ramifications of it are continuing into the present day. So we go forwards and backwards in time, and sort of drawing evidence from each era, and also learning more about those people, the people we thought we knew back in time, who perhaps turn out to be something different.
Well, and too, for you, because you know the characters so well, it had to be kind of enlightening in different ways for you as well.
Yes, indeed. But and also what's so clever about what Louise Penny writes is that even the characters that I, as the narrator, and also the readers who and the listeners who enjoy these books, even the regular characters still have surprise. And you learn things about the characters. You get concerned that you didn't know what you thought about the characters. You think that there's something going on here which is unsettling, which you never imagined. And so sometimes she throws you one of those where you really start doubting the characters you know and love and think, hang on a minute, well, maybe I've misjudged them over the last 10 years of reading it. And so she's very clever at keeping on your toes and not in any way making you presume that you fully understand everything about people. And of course, people are complicated, and she draws human complications so well.
Well, and speaking of complications, well, not complications, but like a variety, I will say, of course, your career has been, you know, so successful in so many different genres in the acting department. But I'm wondering what, I'm interested in the process of narrating a book like this. If, you know, when listening to it, you sound seamless, and of course, you have this wonderful, rich voice. But what happens if you sneeze? I mean, how do you do this? It must take hours to create each chapter, I would think.
Well, I have a director. There is a director engaged by Macmillan Audio, and I think it's a really crucial relationship. The director is Lorelei King, who is an Audio-winning narrator herself. She's also a fine actor and is a very, very fine director of audio. And we have a very good working relationship, which means that there's no penalty for failure. If I feel that a paragraph hasn't gone right, or if I feel a line hasn't been squeezed for irony or whatever it is that is in there, which needs to drip, that I believe Louise has written and I haven't delivered, I do it again. So what I put down, I mean, a lot of the stuff goes down first time, but often it doesn't, and that's just part of the process. So it's not just to sit down, press the button, and read. It's sit down, press the button, and read, and stop and discuss and chew over it and go again and think about it and land on what we think is best. That sounds as though the time is taken and it's a waste of time, but it isn't. It's all creative time. And I think it's a process which I love, because we work on it, and we work on it together. And we sort of make the decisions through the whole process, which eventually are ones that the audience are engaged by.
Well, absolutely. And the other thing, too, is when you are like describing a scene or whatever, your voice has a certain tenor and modulation. But then when you have to do dialogue between two characters, that's got to be the toughest, I would think.
It is, especially when there are seven people in the room. Say you're at the bistro and everybody's ordering food and drink and there's two people in the corner who are talking to each other and then there are people watching them and just calling out. And yes, you have to paint that picture, and it's important to take your time over that, not to let it dwell, but also to paint it. It's painted, of course, in the words, but it needs a certain amount of gymnastics to be able to deliver it. Some of the characters, of course, I can take them off the shelf because I've read them before in other books, and they are regulars. And then there are some who come in, and I have to sort of work on those and think about how they're varied and where their voice comes from and how paced they are and all that. But no, it's just part of the enjoyment of it. Is when there's a whole room of people, and you have to paint the picture. It's like a big conversation piece at the National Gallery. You're looking around, and you can see everybody, and everybody's real, and you have to give weight to each of the characters.
Well, we certainly enjoy it, and I could talk to you all day. Unfortunately, I know we're about out of time. So real quickly, though, before we have to leave, of course, American audiences know you from Downton Abbey and also The Edge of War, but are we going to be seeing you again soon in the States in another TV or film role?
I don't know for sure whether you're going to be seeing me in anything that's upcoming. My only taste of America at the moment is playing Scrooge in a Tennessee Dolly Parton Smoky Mountain Christmas Carol, which I have to say is the greatest fun. That's a stage venture, which who knows, it might find its way to the States, and if it does, I recommend it.
Well, I hope so, and I'm going to get a front row ticket if you do that, Robert. What a pleasure to speak with you. I've obviously been anticipating this interview for quite a while, and it has exceeded my expectations. Thank you so much for your time, your enthusiasm, and sharing all about your portrayal of the much-beloved Chief Inspector Armand Gamache.
Thank you, Marilyn. It's very good to talk to you. Lovely talking to you.
Well, yeah. And for you listeners out there, please check out this wonderful, like I say, audio book, Louise Penny's latest book, A World of Curiosities. It's going to really help you with that holiday stress and become a new favorite of yours for sure. So until next time, this is Mary Eileen Williams at Feisty Side of 50 Radio. Sam, I'll catch you later. Bye-bye.